live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Welcome to the day the Lord has made, and I've been thinking lately, how would I write my own psalm? I've been reading the Psalms because I'm going back to the Bible, and I don't think I could write one. There's so much to pray about these days with what we're going through, particularly in this unbelievably, sadly misrun state. Good time to pray for business owners. Good time to pray for healthcare workers who've been held out of their jobs because of Jay Inslee. And last night was just, it's yesterday afternoon. His presentation to the media was just simply just an unbelievably sad embarrassment. It really is. This is getting to be, it's getting to be a routine to listen to this man and enter into this thinking, okay, well, you know what? We know what he's going to do. We know he's not going to say anything of importance. It's Jay Inslee. He's never going to say anything important until he says the state is reopened. At that point, he'll be saying something important. But listening last night and these poor industry group people who are basically forced to stand there, because I've talked to people in Olympia and Inslee's people are really clear to the industry folks. You're going to stand there and you're going to act grateful or hey, don't expect to reopen. So as I watched this last night and I read the transcripts this morning, just one thought kept reoccurring to me as I was watching this all. Because he's all about, oh, we're going to reopen healthcare. Oh, so these non-urgent cases can be taken care of. They've been urgent for the folks that have not been allowed to take care of them, Jay. They've been urgent in that way. But one thought kept occurring to me. Planned Parenthood didn't ever shut down.
I don't start a fight that I can't finish.
Our goal is 100% voluntary compliance. A non-essential business is endangering public health and committing an unfair labor practice.
Look, life is full of risks. The law matters. The law has a huge impact on the people of this country, and that's why upholding the Constitution matters so much.
Yes, yes, yes. The law. That is the equal treatment under the law. Something I'd like to examine is the equal treatment under the law. So yesterday, Jay Inslee's press conference circled all around the reopening of healthcare and what he considers to be non-essential services or non-urgent services. Well, that's really fascinating because I've talked to so many listeners who have, in fact, looked, who've called us and written us and texted us saying, I can't get a cancer screening followed up upon. How is it that I cannot get a cancer screening followed up upon, but Planned Parenthood is opened? Or, you know, more to some people say, well, the pot stores, but let's just do a side-by-side analysis. Jay Inslee spoke yesterday about all the special precautions that the hospitals are going to take and medical professionals are going to take to make sure that you're safe. That's interesting. Did they learn that from the abortionists who never once shut down? The abortionists who own Trudy Inslee and who own Jay Inslee, the abortionists who pushed the perverse sex ed law that was celebrated by Satanists on the steps of the, I almost said the temple, on the steps of the Washington State Capitol. Right. They celebrated that. Did they learn these special techniques there? Because the side by side analysis of this is one day going to be told. And sometimes when I'm prepping for the show, like this happened today and Alex went to all this work, something just comes to me as I'm reading. And I want to get to a piece. Six lies you've been told about coronavirus because it's very important to what Jay Inslee said. But let's carry on this side-by-side comparison. So we're now 7-8 weeks into this. All of a sudden, the hospitals that have been furloughing people, University of Washington Medical Center is going to furlough 1,500 people in what we're told is a pandemic. 1,500 people to be furloughed from Washington State. How many cuts in the state level yet, Jay Inslee? None. Not a single cut. By the way, I didn't hear, maybe someone did, I didn't hear a journalist yesterday ask Jay Inslee, is this still a great opportunity, Jay, to be pimping your global warming, climate change, global cooling, acid rain thing that you're on about? Is this still a great economic opportunity to fundamentally remake the entire economy? How does it feel, by the way, if you're unemployed, if you've had your business taken from you? And we've talked to business owners on this show. How does it feel to know that Jay Inslee sees the end of your business, of your family business, of the thing that you've built with your blood and your sweat and your tears, that he sees the end of your financial stability to be a great opportunity to sell more windmills, etc.? Doesn't it feel great to know that your governor views your personal pain as a terrific opportunity? So let's just consider this side by side. Sideshow Bob, he likes to say this. Okay, so the law matters. Right, side by side. Seattle City Council has decided they want a bunch of money to help some victims of coronavirus. What they mean is victims of Jay Inslee and Jay Inslee's continued shutdown. No, it's a $100 million fund. I mean, this is big. The Seattle City Council. Let me ask you this question before I tell you this news. Do you already know? Do you already know the group that the Seattle City Council has decided needs $100 million? Illegal immigrants. The Seattle City Council has decided that in the midst of the economic shutdown by Jay Inslee, as you're going to see hundreds of thousands of businesses not come back, as there are 1 million unemployed Washingtonians, a state of 7.6 million people, as across the country, there are going to be perhaps 35 million or more unemployed Americans. And the focus of the Seattle City Council is a $100 million fund for illegal immigrants.
Don't drop that duck, duck. Hey, don't drop that duck, duck.
Tomorrow, we're going to chat with our friends from Power Alley Fitness. And what I'm hearing from business owners, because they are refusing to close. They've reopened. They say we are following CDC guidelines. We're following federal guidelines. The federal constitution is the law of the land. We are following what the federal government has said that we should reopen. And we're doing this. So we're going to chat with them. Because what I've heard from business owners is that Sideshow Bob doesn't even try to defend the diktats from Jay Inslee. They don't even try to defend it. That instead, what Sideshow Bob's people are doing is that they're going in and saying, if your business is opened and your competitors is not, you are engaged in an unfair trade practice because you can't any longer withstand no income. You've decided the pain is too great. The economic pain is too great. Your employees need work. You need to pay your bills. You're going to lose your property, your business, your retirement account. If you decide to reopen, you're involved in an unfair trade practice.
That is a brain dead policy.
And they do that instead of trying to defend the lockdowns. So yesterday as well, Jay Inslee, He went nuts, and I want to do another comparison. So we've compared Planned Parenthood to the doctors now who can finally be open. So life-saving procedures, pain-abating procedures, those have all been optional. Abortion has been essential. That's never stopped for Planned Parenthood, so we've compared that. We have the economic ruin of businesses in downtown Seattle, and what we have the Seattle City Council coming in to say that we've got to get this money to illegal immigrants. Side-by-side analysis. You have some business owners saying, you know what? I cannot stay closed any longer. My employees are literally on the verge of dying. Because guess what poverty does? It leads to death. By the way, we're going to get into this. there are now some counts from the CDC that indicates we're already seeing more deaths because of the shutdown in some states than because of COVID-19. We'll get into this, into these numbers. Because God knows, the local media, the Western Washington media, will never provide you context. Instead, they're turning anyone with context into, oh, you're barking at the moon, strange conspiracy theorist. Yes, quoting CDC numbers makes one a conspiracy theorist. Exactly right. So Jay Inslee, he wants more testing kits, even though he says that we have excess test capacity.
As you know, we have been woefully short of test kits. The federal government has not provided us adequate test kits to actually test as many people as we want to test. We would like to test probably four times the number of people we're testing today as soon as possible. The good news is we have developed additional analytical capability to test those results.
And Inslee went on at one point to say his head just about blew up. He was screaming at his TV screen when President Trump said that testing is overrated. Testing is overrated. So who am I? I'm listening to the words of epidemiologists. I'm looking at Sweden. I'm looking at the states that have opened up sooner. The sooner states have opened up, the lesser the death rates. There's five groupings of states, and we'll go into these numbers in detail. Five groupings of states pulled from CDC data. And the states that have opened up more quickly have fewer deaths. What are we gaining from? If we could test the entire state of Washington, what do we gain? Congratulations. Today, you don't have COVID-19. Tomorrow, you might have it. You might walk. We're told this is so infectious. Jay Inslee and King County, they want people wearing face coverings. Scarfs. I saw people wearing silk scarfs. That's not stopping anything. Right. So we're told it's so dangerous. We got to all just wrap our faces in stuff. And at the same time, what if we just test the entire state? All right. Congratulations. You don't have COVID-19. You walk outside and boom, you got it. You gain nothing by boiling the ocean testing. What you gain is money. You gain money for doing the test because we've set up these perverse incentives. This is what government does. It sets up perverse incentives. Instead, as Dr. Scott Atlas has said, the former chief of neuroradiology at Stanford Medical Center, what he said is there are three populations who need to be tested. Patients at long-term care facilities and nursing homes, the staff there, and first responders. That's it. They need to be tested on a regular basis. But testing the entire state or half the state, three quarters of the state, it does nothing to abate or slow the spread of this disease. Oh, you find positive people. Okay. You find positive people who are 98% asymptomatic. So what, you take all those people who are asymptomatic and you shut them inside their homes, despite the fact that the numbers have not changed. 99% of people are not going to be seriously medically impacted from this. But Brandy Cruz, who I hope we're still friends. I don't know. I haven't reached out to her. I should. It's probably my job. I'm the one who called out her piece. I heard her yesterday talking to Dori Monson on the air, talking about this piece where she says we can question the governor's logic, but not his intentions.
You can question his logic, certainly. But I don't see how anyone can question his intentions.
Well, I can. Because they are questionable. Because I challenge anyone to tell me how they're not questionable. Abortionists were allowed to operate at Planned Parenthood throughout his shutdown, where listeners of mine couldn't get their gallbladders removed or gallstones removed, or they couldn't get follow-up cancer screenings, where I've had listeners who are dentists send me photos of people coming into their offices now with teeth so infected that they were at risk of going septic with the infection getting into the bloodstream, where we had rural hospitals shutting down on the verge of economic death while Planned Parenthood continued to abort babies, continued to hand out cross-sex hormones to 13-year-old kids without the parents' permission. All throughout this, that was a priority. I question that motive. Pot shops and liquor stores were perfectly safe. It's impossible to catch COVID-19 in them. But a restaurant that wants to seat people outside or have limited seating, you go in and die. You walk in, you'll get the COVID. You'll die on the spot. I question that motive. Pot shops and the marijuana business are part owners of Jay Inslee. Planned Parenthood is mostly an owner of Jay Inslee and outright owns Trudy Inslee. Yet big businesses continue to be open because they have massive lobbyists and lawyers. So it's perfectly safe to walk into a Home Depot and buy whatever you want, but not safe to go into small business. Drive-in movies. It is unsafe. You will catch the COVID and die and kill 14 people if you go watch a drive-in movie. But if you get on a Metro bus or a choo-choo train, you are magically safe. I question that motive. I question it because transit is federal dollars. I question the motive of telling people that they need to stay locked inside their houses. They need to change all of their behaviors, except if you live in a drug camp. If you live in a drug camp, go do what you want. Even drug camps like the Ballard Commons that had a hepatitis A outbreak. I question the motive of that. Why? Because the homeless people, the street people that Seattle chooses to keep on the streets in this inhumane act, they're worth federal dollars to Jay Inslee. Sells those people to the feds. We get this. Jay Inslee wanted to release and has released dangerous felons to save them from COVID-19. So pretense, that's the pretense. And yet this morning we learned we've lost our first corrections officer to COVID-19. Gentleman just doing his job at the Monroe Correctional Facility. Guy just going to work, 65-year-old, Beresford Anthony Morse. 65 and working in a prison. 65 puts you in the at-risk group. And this gentleman who was doing his job and feeding his family lost his life. Why was he not masked? The masks, King County tell us that's protection. Perhaps if that gentleman had been given the opportunity to have his doctor review taking hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic. Oh, no. Oh, it's the Fox News thing. Oh, it's the myth. Oh, look, it's a conspiracy theory. It's not. We'll share with you later in the show audio from a doctor we talked to who says that she's on conference calls with physicians around the country saying, why is the national media dragging down hydroxychloroquine, which is a perfectly safe drug? She shared with us that doctors who went to the hot zones in New York City to help out from places like Kansas, guess what they did? They took hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic to protect them from getting the disease. And so, of course, now President Trump is taking it. It's another opportunity for the media to obsess about this. I question the motives of the media in attacking hydroxychloroquine. I question Jay Inslee's motives. In fact, I don't question them. His motives are clear. They're on his sleeve. His motives have been from the first day when they started looking at who gets to stay open and who doesn't. We know that they had planned to keep commercial construction going, and then it got zapped. You're working on the same kind of project. You're building a home. You are inside framing the home. You have to stop. Across the street, you're framing what's going to be a school building. You get to keep going because you're magically safe framing a school building, but you will get the COVID and kill everybody in the state if you are over and framing a house. So how could I not question his motives? And this is what really got me as I thought through this conversation I had with Brandy on Twitter. This is really what got me.
Even if you don't agree with how Governor Jay Inslee has handled this. Do you really question whether his intentions are in the right place? Do you think he gets joy out of shutting down businesses, putting people out of work, costing the state billions in revenue? Do you think that Governor Jay Inslee, a Democrat, gets joy out of having to cut spending?
Well, Brandy, he hasn't. He hasn't cut spending. Not a dime. Not a cent and not a penny, Brandy. And I hope we're still friends. Washington State citizens have cut spending. Washington State business owners have had to radically cut spending. Jay Inslee hasn't cut it a dime, a penny. I question that motive. He knew revenues were going to crater, and he did nothing. He has still done nothing. He has talked about cutting the rate of increase. And I question this. There's a big raise coming for Jay Inslee and state workers. I haven't heard Jay Inslee say that should be stopped. And in the emergency powers that he's given himself, he can stop it. Part of the press's job is who, what, where, when, why. Why? Why means motive. To not question a politician's motive is to decide that that politician is pure of heart, not swayed by donors who own he and his wife, not swayed by ideology. And I'll tell you, here's firmly what I believe is going on in the background. I firmly believe this. I believe that the Democrat power structure run by Nancy Pelosi and heartless extremists, because a woman who will stand in front of her refrigerator and do a let them eat cake moment, bragging, drunkenly bragging about the ice cream she has in her two refrigerators, that's a display of heartlessness. I believe she's gone to Jay and said, you keep that shutdown going as long as you can. And if we take the White House, you are getting the cabinet job, Jay. We're going to bring you in. You're finally going to be no longer Mr. 0%. We'll bring you in and give you all sorts of power, Jay Inslee. I don't know that to be the case. Seems more reasonable to me than anything else. We come back in the Todd Herman Show. You got to hear these numbers. These six ways the media has lied to you about the coronavirus. We'll get to that next on the Todd Herman Show. Todd Herman Show. Appreciate you being with us. Let's get to the text line, 800-465-8770. Then I got to get to this piece. Let's get to the text here. No, let me just say one thing. The media is doing such an effective job in Western Washington of turning anyone with actual facts and data into a lunatic. I am just so sad and frustrated and frightened when I read the comments on Facebook pages from people and from social media, from people who are hardcore leftists. I posted back to Jay Inslee saying, what we just talked about in the last segment, Planned Parenthood never shut down, government jobs, you didn't cut any. And a woman wrote back to me and said, how dare you spread conspiracy theories about our governor? He hasn't cut government a cent. That's an easily attainable fact, even the mainstream media. If you dig enough, you can point out that the governor is going to have to address this. There's pieces showing he's going to have to address it, but he hasn't. And the fact that Planned Parenthood has remained open is easily ascertainable, but going to their websites, we're open. We're essential. But in this woman's mind, and she's not alone.
Oh, well, I haven't heard that on the television news, and KUOW hasn't reported that. So you must be spreading the conspiracy theories.
That is so frightening to me. The mainstream media's grip on people is so complete that the propaganda of silence, this phrase that I have trademarked, is becoming more profound every day. And it's frightening that people, and this is another thing about propaganda silence. You know that people wouldn't be afraid of this if they weren't told to be afraid of this, right? That people would not fear COVID-19 if they weren't told to fear COVID-19. That's how extraordinary the power of the media is. Got to get to this. Text messages. 206. According to Google, Power Alley Fitness is permanently closed. I'm assuming this is wrong. Yeah, they were open as of last night, and they're open today, to my knowledge. They're the ones who are refusing to close. We're going to talk with Mike and get an update tomorrow. By the way, take a screen grab of that for Mike, please, because maybe he can add Google to the lawsuit since they're not permanently closed. Hysteria 51, I cracked a molar that caused an abscess. I've been waiting for 2 months to get it removed. I'm scared it will abscess again. It was not pretty the first time. Do not grind your teeth. Yeah, that's good advice. 360, hey, Todd. I sure would like to hear from a starving employee. I don't disagree with everything or even most of what you say, but every single person I talk to that's not a business owner is getting more on unemployment. I just went to my barber yesterday and told me their employees are getting double what they got to not work. No, I've read about that. You're right. I should have mentioned that. That the perverse incentives that the Democrats accidentally slipped into this law, this bailout. You know that's created a $15 minimum wage, right? It's a backdoor to this. Because now those employees are going to say, hey, well, pay me. Pay me more to come back. But the starving employees I'm mentioning, they're not getting unemployment because Jay Inslee had to shut that system down for days because it had been hacked. I have personally chatted with people and had them on the air who could not get through to unemployment. And lastly, they don't want that. And then you have gig workers and business owners and independent contractors and consultants who don't even qualify for this because, of course, they're not employees. They're rich business owners. I mentioned these people on social media saying,
everybody knows masks protect you. That there's no disagreement on that.
Some things to say. We gotta pay attention to what went on in this thing. We gotta pay attention. No, Alex, why did you turn the wall? Why would you turn down the who? What right do you have to turn down the who? I will pause the who. Alex, but we will not turn down the who on this program. I'm shocked and I'm embarrassed and I'm saddened. The governor of Colorado is a liberal. He's a Democrat. And yet the governor of Colorado is doing something that our own governor, Sleepy Jay Inslee, will not do. He seems to be questioning the motives of the CDC for inaccurate reporting of COVID-19
deaths. These are deaths that should not be politicized. The CDC criteria include anybody who has died with COVID-19. What the people of Colorado and the people of the country want to know is how many people died of COVID-19. In our state, about 900 have died from COVID-19 on their death certificate or from the attending physician. About 1,100 have died with it. That those 200 in the middle, it might have been a contributing factor, but it wasn't deemed the sole factor or the only factor in their death.
The governor of Colorado is mentioning something that this woman and her colleagues and her friends on social media will tell you, that's dangerous. You're publishing conspiracy theories. And I have never been accused. I've never been accused of being a conspiracy theorist, except for the past 2 weeks. In the past 2 weeks, I've finally been accused of being a conspiracy theorist. Why? Because I've mentioned the double and triple counting. A lawsuit in the state of Colorado, in a court, in front of a judge, with evidence and numbers and causes of death, has forced the state to reduce the number of COVID-19 deaths by 23%. There is not a news entity in Western Washington that has mentioned this. 23% reduction. That state is not alone. There are multiple states where this is going on. If every state needs to do this to reduce the count the same way the governor described there, you'd have a massive reduction in the number of deaths from COVID-19. Dr. Birx herself said she believes the numbers are being inflated. She said that in the Washington Post. In Minnesota, state officials have admitted that every single person who dies in a nursing home after testing positive is now deemed to have died from that virus, even if they died from other causes, even if they died from things like alcohol poisoning and were completely asymptomatic. And this is from a brilliant piece from Daniel Horowitz in The Blaze. Brilliant. Boy, it's just conspiracy theory stuff. It is a mind blower to me in this period of time to be called a conspiracy theorist because I am simply mentioning things that the mainstream media will not, and yet the numbers are from the authorities. Here's another. The states that had longer lockdowns are having worse death rates. Florida, for example, is third most populous state, had the highest concentration of seniors, yet deaths and hospitalizations are way down since the state reopened. Same holds true for Georgia. Fairly dense population in Atlanta. Even the liberal mayor of Atlanta had to go on TV and say, hey, this hasn't been as bad as I thought it would be. 40%, they're down 40% on infections. They're down 31% since reopening. Gee, what could be happening? I wonder if it's herd immunity. I wonder if the fact that 95 to 98% of us are never going to feel a symptom from this virus and we build antibodies up and become a place that the virus cannot land, I wonder if that's magically happening. Again, the media in Western Washington, in fact, Washington State will not touch this. If you remove the numbers of fatalities from nursing homes where you've had grandmas and grandpas and loved ones die there because they've been neglected in this. If you remove their fatalities, this turns out to be a bad flu season. If you remove those fatalities. Now, those lives, of course, they're valuable. And they should be protected. They're not being because the concentration is on hurting you, on shutting you down, instead of concentrating on them. You want more comparisons to bad flu seasons? Here's another. If you remove New York City, not the state, you remove New York. It's just like a bad flu season, perhaps even less than a bad flu season. The CDC spoke of kids. For children 0 to 17 years old, COVID-19 hospitalizations rates are much lower than the flu. Comparable times and these points in the influenza seasons. The World Health Organization was forced to admit this. Children seem less capable of spreading the virus. We talked about this yesterday on the show. A researcher wrote a piece that was peer-reviewed and put into the New England Journal of Medicine. They haven't found a single case of a kid passing the virus to the parents. Not one. Again, Daniel Horowitz's piece in The Blaze. Excess deaths from the lockdown, not the virus. It's been observed in a number of states there's excessive deaths being detected, primarily from people dying at home. The CDC is predicting 21,000 to 4,000 excess deaths, not due to COVID-19. What is it due to? Folks staying home because they're afraid of a virus that will not seriously medically impact 99% of us. These five facts are followed by one more. How social distancing was invented. You will not believe how social distancing was invented. We'll get to that next on the Todd Herman Show. Show on AM 770 KTTH. Oh, you dropped the music, Alex. Is it because the signal's bad? There's the lyrics coming up. Man, I'm all over you today. Sorry about that, Alex. So how was social distancing invented? Well, I didn't know this. And I don't know how many people did. Well, first of all, did you know that Johns Hopkins had mocked social distancing when the Bush administration had talked about it during the avian flu? They said it has the potential for a serious adverse outcomes, assuring that a manageable epidemic could move toward catastrophe. This was when Bush was talking about it. Where did it come from? Jeffrey Tucker of the American Institute for Economics points out that the origin of social distancing came from a high schooler's sociology paper in 2006. Do you remember the great myth of all the straws that were floating around in the ocean? And it turned out that this was someone's school experiment that suddenly became the standard, the journalistic standard for how we're ruining the environment. And by the way, I don't use straws. I don't care for, I think they're used, well, look, they're fine. You want to use straws, they're fine. For me, it's sort of consumerism for consumerism's sake, although I know someone need them to drink. I know some people can't drink without straws. I get that. I do. My daughter has a bamboo straw she uses. The social distancing came from a high schooler's paper. Now, everything we've shared with you in this piece from Daniel Horowitz has been absolutely, completely, purposely hidden from local media, by local media. How can I say purposely? It goes back to what Brandi Crews said. Must we question the motives of the governor? Yes, journalists must question the motives of politicians. Who, what, where, when, why? The media, when they choose to, can dig. The Seattle Times dug and they found out that Jay Inslee was using this so-called pandemic to his cousin's overpriced company, sending email to put his cousin to the front of the line. They found that out. The Seattle Times got to the root cause of the raw sewage spillage into Puget Sound, hundreds of millions of gallons of raw sewage. They got not just to the cause of that, they got a 360-degree report on that that should have won an award. They can find these things. The investigative powers of the press, when they are applied, are enormous. What's going on right now is a decision. I know this because it's mutual across press entities. No discussion of herd immunity, no discussion of how many people are asymptomatic, no discussion of the good results from states that have opened up early, no discussion of anything we mentioned in these past two segments that provide this incredible context, no mention of overcounting, no questions about Jay Inslee and the state of Washington overcounting COVID deaths. That's a decision, folks. Not reporting something is the decision to report something else. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with a fresh round of Seattle Spirit.